This week, two anniversaries are being remembered, and both are of acts of terrorism. Of course, the most well-known to us is 9/11, the crashing of planes by terrorists on September 11, 2001 is still vivid in most of our memories. The other one is less known, and it is today, September 6, 1972, known simply as Munich. It was the 20th Olympiad in Munich, Germany, when Arab terrorists posing as athletes invaded the Olympic village and took hostage Israelis. And on September 6, 1972, when German police stormed the place where the terrorists were holding the hostages, the terrorists killed 9 Israeli athletes, and a few other terrorists were also killed, but it came to be known as the Munich terrorism. And when we think of it, acts of terrorism force us to come face to face with human evil at its worst. Ano pa bang mas masahol sa kasamaan na pumapatay ng inosente? Mas maunawaan mo pa yung nakikipaglaban at pumapatay ng kapwa niya kadigma. Ngunit yung pumatay ng hindi naman kalaban, hindi naman kombatant, ngunit pinapatay ng dahil lamang matawag ang pansin ng mundo, and to me, that shows a callous conscience. So acts of terrorism force us to face human evil at its worst. However, acts of terrorism are also events in which acts of heroism are in display. For example, 9/11 will always be legendary for Flight 93. Yung apat dapat na eroplano ang binagsakan ng mga iba't ibang gusali, pero yung ika-apat na eroplano ay ginawa ng mga pasahero na gamitin yung sarili nilang paraan upang talunin, gapiin yung mga terorista na nasa eroplano. In the process, the plane crashed and all the passengers and the terrorists were killed, but at least it did not come to its destination, which by projection was either the White House or the Capitol, the legislature building of the United States. So in other words, there's the act of terrorism, but during such times, there are also acts of heroism, combination of the good in man and the evil in man. And our preacher in Ecclesiastes has been contemplating on this mixture of good and evil in life. Itong mga ngaral natin sa Ecclesiastes ay pinag-iisipan itong kombinasyon, itong paghahalo ng mabuti at masama sa buhay. And our last meditation was on the transition middle of this book. You remember I told you it was in fact the exact middle. 6:10-12 was the exact middle, is the exact middle of the book of Ecclesiastes. And there the preacher raised two questions. The questions which will recur repeatedly in the second half became the preacher's burden. The first question was, who knows what is good? Sinong nakakaalam kung anong mabuti? And it will have its reflections on chapter 7 and 8, which we will begin today in a series of what the writer says better, or more literally, more good. The second question was, who can find out what will happen? And it will have its reflection in chapters 9 and following. So these questions, what is good and who can find out what will happen, these questions will become a source of distress for the writer, as well as receive answers of wisdom. And so we said last week that the unanswerable mysteries of life will challenge our belief in God and will challenge our submission to the sovereignty of God. And in this second half of Ecclesiastes, the keyword vanity will add a new sense. Yung unang sense niya na pinag-aralan natin, the brevity, yung kaiklian ng buhay, by the second half of Ecclesiastes, added to brevity is the sense of mystery. There is a mystery in life. Questions are raised that seem to have no answer, particularly those questions, who knows what is good and who can find out what will happen. Now, sometimes the effect is one of distress, perhaps even depression, but be alert to the touches of wisdom in answer to those questions. And we have such one answer in Ecclesiastes 7. Well, I trust you have read, as the handout suggested you do. You have read the whole chapter, but we'll just read a few verses of Ecclesiastes 7 turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's read first verses 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 to 8. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now jump to verses 14 to 20. Verses 14 to 20. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will happen after him. I have seen all things in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. And finally, the last three verses of this chapter, verses 27 to 29. Verses 27 to 29. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all this I have not found. Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but I have sought out many schemes. Now here we encounter the expression better than. That expression is quite typical in wisdom literature. In fact, there are plenty of this in the book of Proverbs. Napakarami niyang mas mainam. Ano yung mas mainam? But this particular section of Ecclesiastes is special because we have here the longest sequence of better than expressions in the Bible. And this answers the key question raised at the transition, if you remember. Who knows what is good? Yan ang itinatanong ng Ecclesiastes. Sinong nakakaalam ng mabuti? And instead of giving a series of absolutes, this is what is good, 1, 2, 3, instead of giving absolutes, the preacher asserts a series of comparatives. Rather than what is good absolutely, the preacher is saying, let us compare things. Some are better than others. But there is something quite surprising here. Well, the situations he cites are a collection of scattered issues. He mixes good and bad situations. But there is a common denominator which I'd like to suggest. It is to be found in his comparison of wisdom and folly. Wisdom and folly will make the difference between what is good and bad. And let me put the message in this way. The wisdom of godliness and the folly of sinfulness differentiate the good and the bad in various life situations. Ang karunungan ng pagkamakadiyos at ang kamangmangan ng pagkamakasalanan ang mag-iiba sa mabuti at masama sa iba't ibang kalagayan ng buhay. The wisdom of godliness and the folly of sinfulness differentiate the good and the bad in various life situations. Now, as a wisdom book, which Ecclesiastes is, the theme is wisdom. Not in its intellectual concepts, but in terms of a godly perspective in life. Kailangan magkaroon ka ng tamang pananaw sa buhay, yan ang taong marunong. And similarly, the foolish man in the wisdom literature is not the moron in intellect. Rather, it is the man whose view of life is sinful. And here, citing the various situations of life, the writer or Ecclesiastes is not saying this is good, this is bad. Rather, he is making a comparison. He is saying it can be good, it can be bad, depending on whether you're wise or foolish. And so the points I'd like to draw are related but sounds opposite. First, there can be good in a bad situation through wisdom. There can be good in a bad situation through wisdom. Maaring may mabuti sa isang masamang kalagayan sa pamamagitan ng karunungan. And secondly, there can be bad in a good situation through folly. There can be bad in a good situation through folly. Maaring may masama sa isang mabuting kalagayan ng dahil sa kamangmangan. So in other words, the writer, Ecclesiastes, the preacher, is not saying absolutely, this is good, this is bad. What he is saying is, in whatever situation you are, it can be good, it can be bad, whether, depending on whether, you are wise or foolish. You are godly or sinful. So first of all then, there can be good in a bad situation through wisdom. Kung pag-aaralan ninyo yung mga pinaghahambing niya na tinatawag niyang mas mainam, his series of comparatives of better than, the situation considered better is normally bad. A house of mourning, and there are other bad situations he mentions here. The first is a figurative that everybody can agree with. You say a good name is better than a precious ointment, of course. But then it is followed by the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Paano nangyari iyon? Some commentators say that what he means is that someone else's death is better than his day of birth, so you attend his funeral. Possibly, but I think it is better understood as related to what he just said, a good name. Who has a name? Not at your birth. Your name is done at your death. That's when you can really say whether you have a good name or no good name. And in that sense, it is your death which will judge whether you have obtained a good name in your life. And this is followed by contrasts of better than, because the one on the better side is not exactly in a good situation. But the one on the better side is exercising wisdom, which teaches us that the wise is able to discern what is good in bad situations by looking at them from God's vision. Yung marunong ay nakikita niya ang mabuti sa masamang kalagayan sapagkat tinitingnan niya ito sa pananaw ng Diyos. At yan ang sinasabi sa atin na gawin natin. Huwag mong isipin kung ang kalagayan mo ay mabuti o masama. Ikaw ang makapagpapasya sa pamamagitan ng karunungan na ito'y gawing may mabuti kahit pa masama yung kalagayan. To use the expression that is key in Ecclesiastes, the wise is the one who does not limit his perspective under the sun. Huwag mo lang panatilihin ang pagtingin mo sa ilalim ng araw kung ano yung mga nandyan. Consider what he says here. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Put it in our language, there is more to learn in a wake than in a party. Mas may matututuhan ka sa lamayan kesa sa party, sa kasayahan. One thing to learn is that is the end of all men. Parties often function like drugs, if not literally, at least figuratively. Wakes, on the other hand, well, a wake-up call to the fact that you have an end, to the fact that all of us are going to where that man in the coffin is. Yan ang itinuturo sa atin ng paglalamay. Yan ang sinasabi. Just compare conversations you hear in parties and in wakes. You know, in parties are described here by the passage as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. The corniest joke, everybody laughs at. Yan ang party. Even the things that have no sense, they'll say cool. That's a party. what conversation would you hear in a week? Oh, he had it all, but he couldn't beat cancer. Oh, he looked so healthy. Nobody expected that it would be so sudden. Or accident. Who would have ever expected it to happen? It's giving you wisdom that you would not hear in party conversations. And what wisdom we can apply in the context of death, we may apply in other bad situations. Take a situation here mentioned by Ecclesiastes that all of us will go at one time or another, that of being criticized. Folly, or the foolish man, takes it too hard. Wisdom will consider. You know, I smile at this, I hope you do, in what Ecclesiastes says in verses 21 and 22. He says, "Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that you have cursed others." Ay, hindi ba totoo? Pag masyado mong sineryoso, maririnig mo, maaaring subordinate mo, kakilala mo, ang minumura ka, o nagsasabi ng masama laban sa'yo, at maaaring magdamdam ka ng gusto, ang sabi niya rito, "Teka muna, hindi mo ba ginagawa iyon? Don't you, in some situations, criticize, backbite?" And I say, what common sense? Your misdeeds have a mysterious way of getting back to you. And it's not karma. We call it the providence of God. Well, you and I like to be in the best situations, don't we? We like to be in the party rather than mourning. We like to be praised rather than criticized. But that is not yours to predetermine. You will be in a bad situation as providence assigns your lot. And perhaps you are in a bad situation now. Perhaps in your heart, you're even responding like you don't know half of it, Pastor. Bad is an understatement. I'm in a mess. Well, you cannot change the situation by willpower. Consider verse 13 here. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? This is not fatalism. This is simply stating the fact in its boldest way. When you're in a situation, you cannot by willpower change it. Can you? No, we cannot. But here is what you can do. You can choose to be wise rather than be a fool. Hindi mo mababago ang sitwasyon mo. Maaring masama ang iyong sitwasyon. Ngunit ang maari mong ipagpasya ay maging marunong ka na makikita ang mabuti sa isang masamang kalagayan. Find what is better. And how can you do that? Well, there is a grace suggested here by the wise man. What is that grace? This is the challenge. That grace is patience. Wisdom's grace is patience necessary to overcome pride during bad situations. Ito ang pinagsalungat niya. Yung pagpapahinuhod, yung pasensya, kasalungat ng pride, kapalaluan. Listen to verse 8 again. "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." So anong nire-relate niya rito? Yung beginning ay inuugnay niya sa pride. Yung panimula ay doon sa palalo, sa mayabang. Samantalang para sa mapagpahinuhod, sa pasensyoso, ay yung katapusan, the end of a thing. That's for the patient. Pride thrives in impressive beginning. Patience waits for the latter end. One application of this immediately to the writer is, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Huwag kang magmadali sa pagiging magalitin, sapagkat ang galit ay nasa sinapupunan ng mga mangmang. Kung pairalin mo ang pagpapahinuhod, hindi ka padadaig sa galit. What is the root of unjustified anger? Isn't it many times this? I want results now. And when you cannot get it now, you get angry. One of the best commendations of patience is from the lips of our Lord Jesus. When he was exhorting his disciples in the face of persecution, he said this, Luke 21 verse 19, "By your patience possess your souls. Sa inyong pagpapahinuhod, panghawakan ninyo ang inyong mga kaluluwa. Parang sinasabi niya, kung walang patience, madaling magpanik sa harap ng kaguluhan, sa harap ng pressure, sa harap ng persecution. Patience is a life-gaining grace. It's a soul-possessing grace. While pride is a soul-consuming sin. Ayan ang pagpipilian natin. Through patience, you can still live a happy life even under the most severe of pressures. I was talking to an elderly believer a few days ago. And he was coming to terms with his dying, a case of cancer. And he told me that there's no sense in insisting on prolonging one's life when all the evidences are there. And yet, he is giving everything to the Lord, happy with his life. The words he told me was, "I have no regrets. I'm talking of my father." And he could accept with a soldier's dignity and with a Christian's faith his condition. And that's something that you and I should challenge ourselves to do likewise. In times of pressure, under severe circumstances, we cannot change it, but we can choose to be wise. We can choose to be patient. We can choose to accept what is there. In contrast, by pride, the slightest opposition can be an irritation that robs you of happiness. Here then is the answer to the question, how do you find what is good? When is it better? The mistake is in looking for the good in the circumstances and external conditions of the man. And that's not where the good is. Rather, it is in the man himself, whether he exercises wisdom. If he does, it does not matter that he is in a place of mourning, he will see good in it. Or under pressure and criticism, he will learn from it. And that's the secret. And this is Philippians 4:11 all over again. I have learned in whatever state I am, there to be content. And what is behind the contentment of the Christian? Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want to address those of you who have no Christ for your Lord and Savior. You will try to grasp at other things to convince yourself life is happy. Perhaps you will grasp at your ambition. Perhaps you will grasp at your reputation. People perhaps admire you. Perhaps you have a good income or some other ways to make your life seem happy. But in the end of it all, there is no real happiness apart from those who are in Christ. And don't blind yourself. Don't convince yourself of happiness outside of Christ. On the other hand, I address anyone, if you profess Christ, but your testimony is one of pride, full of impatience, anger, you're giving Christ a bad name, and we must change that. One of the most influential books of the 20th century was written by a man, Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 years in solitary confinement under the communist regime of Romania, under the regime of Nicolae Ceausescu. Yet he wrote a book of that experience. The title is Tortured for Christ, a very influential book. And yet that influence was born of suffering. Suffering under the most stressful circumstances. And if you are in one now, you have the choice by the grace of God. Find good in a bad situation or forever complain and curse at life, which doubles your misery. So there can be good in a bad situation through wisdom. But then secondly, there can be bad in a good situation through folly. May masama, or maaring may masama sa isang mabuting kalagayan nang dahil sa kamangmangan. Mabuti na, pinasama pa. And that's the second part of our reading. And sometimes it can be utterly confusing if we do not interpret it right. For example, it has often been misinterpreted, verse 28, one man among 1,000 I have found, but a woman among all this I have not found. Magpaprotesta mga kababaihan dito. Teka muna, anong ibig mong sabihin? Kahit papano may isang lalaki sa 1,000 na survey mo, wala man lang isang babae. Well, the confusion will simply move away if he understand the one man to be himself. If that one man is himself, that simply means outside of himself, he understands no one. As far as their life is concerned, it's utterly confusing. So it's not talking of the superiority of man over woman. It is simply that he's talking about the fact that outside of himself, he does not understand the ways of man and woman. And the reason why it is so complicated is sin. Kaya masyadong komplikado ay dahil sa kasalanan. Or how do you understand verse 16? Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Is he saying here that there is too much of righteousness and wisdom? Is he suggesting that just be moderate about being righteous and being wise? Now we should understand this rather in terms of the expected result of being right and wise in a situation. And the point is something like this. The folly of sin, expect the folly of sin, will intrude into what could have been good and wise in a situation. The folly of sin will often intrude into what could have been good and wise in a situation. And sin is behind the mystery of many troubles that shouldn't have been. Sin is the unwelcome intruder. So, in his description that God created man upright, but he sought out so many schemes, pinagulo niya ng kanyang kasalanan. This is the story of Eden. But this, in a sense, is duplicated every time we are in a good situation and we allow sin to complicate it. The blessings are there for our taking, but we let sin intrude and we miss the blessing. And how sadly true this is for those of you procrastinating the issues of gospel blessings. It's there for you to take. It's there for you to receive. And on you are procrastinating and you are letting sin intrude into the blessing of the gospel. And I call upon you, do not procrastinate. Do not let time come between you and the blessing of Christ. Do not let sin be the reason why you are refusing the blessings of the gospel. But for you and me, the challenge that this analysis suggests is that be realistic about the intrusion of your sin and that of others in any situation. What he is saying simply is that you cannot discount sin in any equation of life. Hindi mo maaring tanggalin sa iyong pagsusuri ng kalagayan, hindi mo maaring tanggalin ang kasalanan. At ito ang wala. Ang mga scientists natin, ito ang wala ang mga dalubhasa natin. Susuriin nila ang isang kalagayan at ang tanging panagot lang nila ay panagot na ibibigay sa kanila ng kanilang siyensya. Magsusuri sila ng mga bagay tungkol sa kahirapan, mga bagay tungkol sa mga pang-aapi, at ang lahat ng mga measures nila, mga ebidensya nila, yung ibibigay lamang ng kanilang scientific data. You and I have sin as a factor of equation that gives us more wisdom. How do you explain many things that people do unless you have the factor of sin to explain it? And this is what the writer is saying. You cannot discount sin. He says in verse 20, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. It will make its presence felt one way or the other. And this is the touch of wisdom of verse 16 when it says, do not be overly righteous nor be overly wise. Let me put it in our language. It would be saying, do not turn every situation into a life and death issue. Do not make it always a take it or leave it matter. In most situations, accept that there will be losses even if you are right. Accept the losses, accept the injustice, and move on. Hindi mo pwedeng sabihin, ako ang tama. Dapat sa akin ang lahat ng nasa tama. Well, if you're in Eden, perhaps. But you're in a sinful world. And in a sinful world, righteous people get abused. Wise people get abused. And it's a fact of life. Which means if it happens to you, do not insist too much. Accept your losses, then move on. And this is very practical, in fact, in this sinful world. Rarely will you have the maximum of good. In most cases, it will be a mixture of good and bad. And how liberating it is for us if we apply it practically. In your workplace, there will be people who should not be promoted, and yet they get promoted. There will be people who should not be rewarded, and yet they get rewarded. Perhaps you feel you should be paid more than what you are receiving, and yet you don't get paid more than what you are receiving. And yet you labor on. What does that tell you? It tells you are in a sinful world. Sin will be part of the equation. And it will be practical in many decision-making concerns or even in the evaluation of situations or of people. I continue to be blessed with the lives of men and women I read about, and yet I know of the fact that they are not completely gold. I've seen their clay. That doesn't mean I should no longer look up to them. Why? For the simple reason that I too have many clay parts in me. And that's the thing to assess in your own life. Whether the situation will be good or bad is not your call. But to be wise or foolish, that is your choice. And so combining all this together, we conclude with verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. As someone observed, one of the key themes of Ecclesiastes is enjoy. Enjoy your life. Makikita mo, maski yung mga practical, enjoy when you eat in your dining table. Enjoy it. Baka nawawala ng enjoyment ninyo pag kayo'y kumakain. Eh, sinasabi rito, enjoy your life. So, during times of blessings, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. And now notice what the writer says. Surely, God has appointed the one as well as the other. Behind both is the sovereign God. And your choice is to be wise or to be foolish. There's a portion of the scripture in the Old Testament that so classically describes this. It's the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm tells us that we can be in the presence of our enemies and yet enjoy dainties. He provides for us in the presence of our enemies. We can know the assurance of God even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, it is putting in Psalm what Ecclesiastes is putting in wisdom words. Whether you are in adversity, you can have good if you are wise. And that's the last song we have, is taken from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Verse 4 is what I've been describing. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. At sana isikapin nating sa biyaya ng Diyos, kahit pa tayo nasa masamang kalagayan, maaring may mabuti tayong makita at maranasan sa pamagitan ng karunungan ng kabanalan. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, O Diyos, na kilalanin na pinararaan mo kami sa mga iba't ibang kalagayan ng mabuti, masama, at hindi ito namin maaring kontrolin, hindi namin maaring baguhin sa sarili lamang naming pagpapasya. Ngunit inilagay mo sa amin ang responsibilidad na maging marunong sa gayong mga panahon. At sa pamagitan ng karunungan na tumutukoy sa pagkamakadiyos, ay maaari kaming may masumpungang mabuti kahit sa isang masamang kalagayan tulad sa paghahambing dito sa isang lamayan o kung kami ay pinagsasalitaan ng masama. Mga bagay ito na ayaw naming mangyari ngunit wala sa kontrol namin kung mangyari. Ngunit maaari kaming maging marunong sa iyong biyaya at sa pamagitan ng karunungan ay may masumpungan at maranasan kaming mabuti kahit sa masamang kalagayan. Hamunin mo ang mga narito, Panginoon, na makita nilang ang pinakamabuting kalagayan. Kahit pa ito kami makaranas ng mga hindi maganda, ay ang kami mapakay Kristo. And through Christ, we can say with Paul, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we ask, Lord, that we would know of this in a practical, concrete way. For those who are here and perhaps in a bad situation, perhaps a real mess, we cannot control it, yet we can choose to be wise in it and be of good influence even to others. And warn us that there can be bad in a good situation through folly. And something that this passage reminds us is the fact that we always have to put into the equation the reality of sin. The folly of sin often intrudes into our lives. And we ask, O Lord, that we would be realistic about this intrusion, whether of our sin and that of others. And as a result, rarely would there be the maximum good in the situations of our earthly life. There can be a mixture of good and bad. And as a result, Father, may we have the wisdom not to insist on what is maximum, when we should be able to accept the fact that because we are sinners and we live in a sinful world, we cannot have all and everything that is good, but more a mixture of good and bad. And may there be a practical contribution of this to the way we assess things where we are, to the way we even look at men and women, and especially may we be able, like the psalmist describes it in Psalm 23, you can furnish a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that in the worst of situation, under the most severe of stresses, yet we can enjoy with a deeper joy than what situations provide because of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, grant, O Lord, that we would be refreshed with a thought that whatever the world can take away from us, it cannot take away the chiefest of all blessings, the Lord Jesus himself. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.